This is Liberty. Thanks for listening to LOP Radio, everybody. I appreciate you showing up. Our topic this evening is reverse speech, and our guest is the discoverer of this occurrence, David Oates. He's written several books on the subject, operates the website reversespeech.com, and does training in many different fields for which this technology is applicable. The link to David's website can also be found on the show thread on lunaticoutpost.com. Now, my personal take on this is to keep an open mind and research the technology for myself. There's no greater proof for an individual one way or the other than testing something personally and weighing the results for themselves. The far-reaching effects of this discovery, which you can test for yourself, has the potential to turn the world of deception and conspiracy on its head and make those tools obsolete. Since all conspiracies boil down to backroom deals made in secret and the truth being withheld from the public at large, I think a modern technical lie detector is likely the most valuable tool a researcher can have in their toolbox. I honestly believe David's work has the potential to be that tool, and as such, deserves an honest appraisal from anyone that's interested in the truth. That said, as with anything else presented on this show, decide for yourself. David, I appreciate you for joining us this evening.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my great pleasure. I've been enjoying your posting on your bulletin board the last week. So, yes.
It was very interesting to see you on there. I thought I would definitely see if we could get you on here to discuss this, because this is something that I've been very interested in. I became aware of the idea in the 1980s when the subject of backwards masking became popular.
Yeah. That's where I got started back in '83 with the whole thing of backward masking and satanic messages on rock and roll, sex, drugs, and all that type of stuff. So it kind of got me a little bit intrigued, and I started looking at some music, and then accidentally stumbled across the human speech, and the rest is history. So, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. The first thing we did was break out the Led Zeppelin record and the record player and start playing stuff backwards with our fingers, We were able to confirm that there were definitely places in songs that, when you played it backwards, you know, intended or not intended, contained messages.
Oh yeah. Well, Led Zeppelin was the first one I looked at, "Stairway to Heaven." I'll never forget that. And I was pretty skeptical. So I was I'd heard stories. You play the record backwards, you hear these satanic messages. And I got out my "Stairway to Heaven" Led Zeppelin and ran it back. And oh my God, I could hear it. It was like a real wow moment. And I got out over the next a couple of months, I'd got out most of my cassettes and run them all backwards in my little Walkman that played in reverse, and was quite intrigued with what I was finding. So, I looked around for any information on the topic, and all I could find was a couple of books written by some fundamentalist Christians claiming that, you know, rock and roll was the devil's music and this was sort of satanic, and so that didn't really help me much.
Right.
So I really started researching myself quite fervorously, looking for some answers as to what was causing it. The whole thing had me intrigued. I've been involved in audio all my life. I'm a ham radio operator, so I'm used to listening to faint signals amongst the noise, and my ears are pretty sharp, I think. And I just started researching. Of course, once I found it in speech, it's a whole new ball game. It's a bit of an interesting hobby to find satanic messages on rock and roll, but when you start running speech in reverse and you start hearing things like what they did yesterday or the day before, or if they're telling a lie forward, you'll get the truth backwards. And this was just an incredible thing to me. I wrote my first book on the topic in '87, when I introduced the theory of reverse speech, and I've been traveling the world teaching and lecturing and doing radio and TV, and you know, here I am 30 years later. So that's basically the story.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was in researching for the interview. I was taking a look at your website, and I thought it was interesting what you'd done. I'm a musician and have been for over 25 years, so I've got a trained ear to discern, you know, certain sounds and nuances in sounds. I understand that a researcher that's new to this field, without that type of background, would probably have a harder time getting started. You teach this technology on your website? You have information that people could look into on this?
Oh yeah. There's a couple little courses to get you started. If you go to the product section of the website, there's the hobbyist course. It's a little home study course, 6 hours of audio that gives basic steps on how to learn. And you're right, you've got to have a good ear for it. You know, it's actually, you know, while I teach training classes, I did a class in London beginning of this year, and it's a very difficult skill to learn. You've got to train your ears to really tune into the sounds, and as the tapes are running backwards amongst the gibberish, every now and then you'll hear this really clear phrase pop out of the gibberish, and your ears have got to be tuned right to get that, as you know, because you've got the musical background, you've got the ears for that. I'm got the ham radio background, so I already had the ears for it, you know. So, but yeah, we've just got a whole bunch of students in England getting started, so that's all very exciting. So, I did a class in America a couple of years ago. I'm probably going to do another one next year, I think, in the States. So yeah, I travel around teaching and lecturing.
Excellent. Yeah, and that information on the different courses and things of that nature can be found on your website, reversespeech.com.
Right. Yep, all on the website.
Now, in your time doing this, it seems like you've gotten into a little bit of trouble dealing with some of the more sensitive topics. I was researching this, listening to another interview, and looking at your website, there are some references to that. I'm curious. You did a reverse that had such impact that you were literally contacted by military people regarding the reversal, and they were not happy with you, I think.
No, not at all. Actually, I've gotten a lot of trouble over the years. I think you talk about the Simone reversal.
Yes, sir.
That's Operation Desert Shield before Operation Desert Storm started. I'd been contacted by a chap in Washington, chap name of CB Scott Jones, who's very well connected, and he was setting up a series of lectures for me to the FBI and Naval Intelligence and a few other agencies. And at the time all of this was going on, I was in contact with several high-ranking officials in Washington getting all these lectures set up. And I was also doing reversals on Operation Desert Shield. And I found several interesting reversals on George Bush. Let's play one of the let's play an easy one to start off with. So here's George Bush talking about going into the Gulf.
I think things are moving in the right direction, and we're pleased so far with the solidarity, cohesiveness of the economic actions that have been taken.
Okay, this one's fairly tame. It simply says, sent the Seahawk up.
Sent the Seahawk up.
And again.
Sent the Seahawk up.
And I just later discovered the Seahawk was an attack helicopter on aircraft carriers. But the one that got me into trouble was one word I kept on hearing over and over again on Bush, Baker, and Cheney. Baker, Secretary of State Baker, and also Defense Secretary Dick Cheney, and that was the word Simone. So we'll play one instance of this. Here's George Bush.
But we must recognize that Iraq may not stop using force to advance its ambitions. Iraq has massed an enormous war machine on the Saudi border.
And this one says Simone in the sands.
Simone in the sands.
And again.
Simone in the sands.
So I contacted Scott Jones and I talked to him about this word Simone. I didn't know what it meant because I'd found it at least a half a dozen times. So he wrote a confidential memo to Dick Cheney, telling him all about reverse speech and whether the word Simone meant anything. And you can actually see that memo on my website. If you go to the Desert Storm page, you can trace the whole story. And anyway, somehow that memo was leaked to the press. And it went viral. It went right across the world, and with headlines as the president hiding secret code words backwards in his speech. And
I imagine.
And I was, Oh, it was big. And I was, you can see the CNN news clip on my website as well. And so I was contacted by several people in Washington telling me to shut up. Don't talk to the press. Just lay low for a few months, and then we'll get you in and to do your lectures. And so I did. Anyway, I later discovered that Simone meant is an Arabic word, meaning a dust storm in the desert or desert storm. And so what I'd actually found in metaphor was the code word that they were using for Operation Desert Storm. And that was my baptism by fire back in 91, early 91. And that was quite freaky. And since that time, of course, it's happened to me many, many times since then. Like even this latest thing with Syria, I did my radio show. I do a regular weekly show, and I did a show last week, and based on the verses I found on Obama. And I said, look, Obama's not going to go into Syria this week. He's not going to. He doesn't want to. All the reversals are saying, I don't want to do this. And bang, I've been watching it unravel on the news. You know, plans have been stalled, and now it's got to go to Congress for them to vote. And I, just before you ran me on Fox, I'm saying, they're saying he might not have the votes to attack. So it's happened to me many, many times. And, reverse. Here, let me play you thing we're talking about. This is one I found on George Bush 2 weeks before we went into Iraq, and so we'll run this forwards.
We'll help that nation to build a just government after decades of brutal dictatorship. The form and leadership of that government is for the Iraqi people to choose.
And this one says, we will sit in Baghdad.
It's just uncanny.
Yeah, I know. So I did a radio show, and I said, listen, we're going to march right into the streets of Baghdad. You wait and see. And bang, we did. 2 weeks later, American troops marched in triumphantly. So, yeah, pretty uncanny stuff. And, of course, you know, look, these are some interesting media examples, but most of my work is in private therapy. I've got a very active, very busy practice, and it happens to me every week. I'll find names of friends or relatives or in things they've done the week before or the week before that, you know, and it comes to a point where you got to say, this is not coincidence, this is not imagination, you know, I'm not a psychic, I'm just an ordinary everyday Aussie, you know, and I don't have a special magic tool, well, except for a reverse speech. Yes, well, I guess I do have a special magic tool, but reverse speech is a tapping into the unconscious, and it's my theory is that the language is bi-level, forwards and backwards. This is a natural function of language. There's nothing spiritual or psychic about it, and the satanic message in rock and roll, which they were finding, were on bands who openly professed to be involved with the occult, you know. And so the fact that you'd find satanic messages or references to drugs in the music of the 70s and 80s should be no big surprise, because that was the era of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And, so that's what they found. Yeah. So you know. But what they were finding in music was the very first indications of this dual-fold, bi-level form of human communication. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think it's important to ponder this, the implications of this. I mean, I've made a conscious decision at one point in my life to stop lying and to stop, buying into that. I was using so much mental process trying to keep up with lies here and lies there and getting caught with stuff, really just poisoning relationships that I was in. And once I kind of cleared the deck and said, no more lies, this isn't going to happen anymore, it really had an outstanding effect on my life. And so personally, I'm happy to see some technology like this arise that is effectively, it has the potential to put an end to deception. And if deception isn't what's basically screwing the human system right now, I don't know what is.
Yeah, oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, that is the ultimate implications of reverse speech. if you accept the premise of reverse speech, then it means that there are no more lies. The politicians can't hide. The leaders can't hide. Whatever they're thinking or feeling has the potential to appear backwards in their speech. And that can actually sometimes be quite embarrassing. Example, let's play a little embarrassing reversal here. This is a little one I found on Obama a couple of years back.
When President Abbas was here, I discussed some of those same issues with him. I think it's very important that the Palestinians not look for excuses for incitement.
And this reversal makes you wonder what was on his mind, because he says, soon I must have sex.
Soon I must have sex.
So there you go. You've got to watch those little transient thoughts, you know. But that's the potential of reverse speech, the little transient thoughts, the truth and the lies. And, I mean, I don't know whether reverse speech is going to be accepted in my lifetime. It will eventually be accepted because it's real. And the skeptics will test it one day, hopefully, and find its reality. And it's going to cause a major shift in society. We'll wait and see. I hope it happens in my lifetime. I'm certainly getting all geared up for some big time promotion over the next few months.
I agree. I think there's been a major shift in at least American consciousness here recently, especially with the exposure of Bradley Manning or Chelsea Manning and Snowden and the different ways that we're finding out that we're being spied on and lied to. The people, they don't want that anymore. They want honesty. They want truth. They want their politicians to represent what they're about.
Yeah, exactly right. And yeah, on the note of Snowden, let's show you a couple of verses on Snowden that just basically points to his motives. So here we have Snowden.
So long as the public gets to make their own decisions about how that's applied.
And here he just says, I'm just American.
I wasn't just an American.
I wasn't just an American. I wasn't just an American.
So he's a patriot. He's doing what he believed was his patriotic duties. I'm just an American informing the public about this spying that's going on in the NSA.
Yeah, and it's really the politicians that paint him as a terrorist with their propaganda, because now their lies are being exposed, and this is really just unraveling of the bigger picture at hand and like you said, it'll have major implications on society as we now have the technology. If this becomes accepted, to hold ourselves to a higher standard and really explore our minds and our brains a little better, and that's really what we need to do. I also think the point needs to be made in reviewing some of your other interviews. This was a point that really stood out in my mind, that you've got, I'm sure, skeptics all over the place that go after anything that's outside of the current scientific model. I call them the high priests of science, and specifically every guest that we've ever had here complains about Wikipedia or Wackypedia and it being censored to conform with most of the current scientific models, and it's impossible to keep anything any alternative knowledge out of there. It's so hammered on. The reverse speech page, of course, is no different. It claims that this is pseudoscience, and the people that are the interviewer pointed out that the people who are making these comments and criticisms aren't familiar with the work at all, and they're just basically covering their ass on this. And it stands to point out, why would you be contacted by the military if this is not, you know, an actual So
I worked for the FBI during the Waco siege. I did a personality profile on David Koresh based on his reversals. And my recommendation to the FBI, there was two ways that he was going to come out according to Koresh's reversals, and that was if his grandmother was allowed to go in and negotiate, or if the FBI went away. And because his grandmother wanted to go in, and they refused to let her in, which is very sad, because the reversal said that would have succeeded. So I know they've used it. You know, I've done work with the police on not many cases, unfortunately, only a few. And it is being used. And there was a news story on PBS on cable about 2 years ago that I didn't see, but several people told me about it. A police officer was interviewed who was using reverse speech in his cases, and he said on the news, look, this has proved to be remarkable. I've managed to solve several cases as a result of using reverse speech. Now, I didn't hear the story, but several people told me about it. I think as the years go on, and especially now that I'm going to come back into the public limelight again, we're going to see it used more and more and more. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, it's basically making the case for you as these different people try it for themselves. And that was the point I wanted to stress at the beginning of this, that this isn't, you don't have to have $100,000 worth of gear. You don't have to have 8 years of college to get this all done. And now it is a discipline, and it takes time to understand the nuances of it. But anybody can basically download a free audio software. And I believe you have an application coming out and some software already available that helps with this.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We've got an app coming out. Well, it should be out in a couple of weeks. We were supposed to have the first draft on Friday. I haven't seen it yet. But, that'll be a free download for the iPhone or iPad. We'll be coming out with Android in about 2 or 3 months after that. So free on your iPhone. Your iPhone turns into a reversing machine, rather than takes forwards and backwards. You can speed it up or slow it down and to save your files. And yeah, so go to, if you're interested in the app, I've got a special site up for the app. It's ireversespeech.com. That's reverse speech with an I in front of it. That'll be the name of the app, iReverse Speech. And there's a little mailing list there. Just pop your name and email address in the mailing box and we'll notify you as soon as the app released. So we're looking forward to that. We've got a software package out now for PC. It's really for professional documentation. Probably the hobbyists. I don't know where the hobbyists. The hobbyists would get some good use out of it. But it's really designed for the professional analyst. It does transcripts and bookmarks and automatically puts the reverse speech into a presentation format, and this is a full editing software program too. So that's available on the website. But yeah, the app's a real thing you want. So just a couple of weeks, that'll be out. So that's a very exciting step forwards.
That'll be excellent.
And there's lots of I think Audacity's free, if I remember correctly, isn't Audacity? There's a lot of software program. Goldwave also runs forwards and backwards, so there's lots of them out there, nice and cheap.
Absolutely. Well, moving forward, I'm really interested to hear some of your other reversals. We've had a resurgence of Princess Diana, and I'd also like to point out that while most of the information that deals with your reversespeech.com site is American oriented, you also have an Australian version of the site which deals with Australian people, which would be reversespeech.com.au. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. reversespeech.com.au. Got reversals on our various prime ministers. Actually, we've got an election here this weekend coming, and I've got some reversals on our prime minister. I have to get up. I'll be hopefully uploading them in a couple of days. So if there's any Aussies listening, you can go and check the .com.au site, and hopefully we'll be getting a .co.uk site up pretty soon. That's the next one on the planning board. I tend to mainly use American examples because most of my media is in America, and let's face it, American politicians are known all over the world, and it's just the way I go. But Princess Di, I got a few reversals on Princess Di. She's back in the news again now, of course. A member of the military has claimed that it was a military hit, and Scotland Yard is taking it seriously, and they're investigating it. So so let's play a couple of... So that's what you want, a couple on Di and the Queen?
Yes, yep. Please, yes.
All right, so let's start off with... we'll just couple on Di first. Yeah. Now, this is from her interview she did where she bared her soul, and she also revealed the contents of a letter which she wrote believing that Prince Charles was going to have her killed in a car accident. So here's the forwards.
Maybe I was the first person ever to be in this family who ever had a depression or was ever openly tearful. And obviously that was daunting because if you've never seen it before, how do you support it?
And this one is, and he's so angry. Oops. And he's so angry, sorry.
Yeah, that's very clear.
Yeah. Very clear. Presumably referring to Prince Charles is what you would think on that one. And then we have this one here.
Why? I was at the end of my tether. I was desperate. I think I was so fed up with being seen as someone who's a basket case.
And she says, our love is over, so upset.
But I love her so either. So upset.
I love her so either. So upset.
You hear that one okay?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly. I mean, it's sometimes I've done some research on some of your older ones. Some of them are a little clearer than others, but the ones you played thus far are. I mean, it literally sounds like she's talking forward with just a few hints of the backwards stuff that you can hear in the background.
Yeah, most of the verses are pretty clear. I mean, my quality has gotten a bit better as the years have gone on. I think you find the verses I play nowadays are clearer than the verses I used to play 15 years ago. I've maybe gotten a little bit more strict in my standards. So, I'll play one more on Di, and then we'll look at the Queen.
Rampant bulimia, if you can have rampant bulimia.
Yeah, she says, Nirvana behind me.
Nirvana behind me.
Nirvana behind me.
And again.
Nirvana behind me.
So her Nirvana, her wonderful fairy tale life, is no longer hers. So.
Yeah, I definitely heard that.
Oh, now this one on the Queen. Look, I've got 91 videos up on YouTube under my channel, David Oates. Go and search YouTube under my name, David Oates. And but this one on the Queen gets me the most hate comments of all the 91 videos. I must get probably half a dozen comments a week from this Queen video. People are furious with me. So this is the speech she made a week after Princess Di died, and she was actually forced to do it by Tony Blair. Said, you know, the public have got to hear from you. So she came out and made this speech a week after. So here we go.
This week at Balmoral, we have all been trying to help William and Harry come to terms with the devastating loss that they and the rest of us have suffered.
And here she says, the fuss will serve us.
The fuss will serve us. The fuss will serve us.
And again.
The fuss will serve us.
Fairly cold sort of statement. She's basically saying, you know, we're going to manipulate this position to our advantage. Okay?
Yeah, she's all business, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All business. Let's go and get this apology out of the way and turn this situation around so that we can benefit from it. So there you go. Rather fairly cold sort of statement. So yeah. All right. Here, let's play you some. I do a regular show each week, and which I think I mentioned, and I made a prediction on the show, not this Sunday, the Sunday before, that we wouldn't go into Syria, and at that stage. It was an unpopular statement because everyone was thinking, you know, President Obama had just moved the warships in and off the coast, and the attack was supposed to happen any day. So here's two reversals. That's one. The first one's not very clear, but it's significant. Here we go.
Do we have the coalition to make it work?
And it says, do we have the coalition to make it work? And he says, don't begin it. Got that one?
Yeah, it sounds like he says, don't begin this, or don't begin it, yes.
It could be this. Let's play it again. There's an S on the end, yeah. Anyway, and of course, the coalition fell apart because the Brits, you know, that's what he's talking about forward. Do we have the coalition? Let's play the forwards again.
Do we have the coalition to make it work?
And of course, they didn't have the coalition because the UK voted against it. So there's one reversal that says he doesn't want to get involved. And here we have another one.
What I've also concluded is that direct military engagement, involvement in the civil war in Syria would not help the situation on the ground.
And this one says there is no worse than an involvement.
There is no worse than an involvement. There is no worse than an involvement.
You got that
clear,
one?
Clear as a bell.
Yeah, clear as day. So Obama doesn't want to get involved in Syria, and I don't care what he says publicly. He doesn't want to get involved. And here's another one that makes me think this.
Countries break international norms on weapons like chemical weapons that could threaten us.
And here he says, no one will shine on it. In other words, no one's going to benefit from this, okay? It's a lose-lose situation. And, you know, we'll wait and see what Congress says now, you know, but I think Obama certainly had the authority to go ahead with that Congress. And I think he just put over Congress as a way to save face and to get himself out of making the decision. I don't know. We'll see.
I agree. It wouldn't be like hasn't set precedents in the past of bypassing, you know, congressional agreement with his declarations of war, moving in and doing stuff. And I really, what I hear mostly are some of the other people who, like John Kerry, that would probably benefit from this in many different ways that are doing the warmongering. And I didn't really get the impression, like, call it intuition or whatever, that Obama was really interested in going in and getting us involved in that. And it's really reflective, if you believe the polls, in the American public. We're not interested in another war. We're not interested in starting two more wars with people and possibly having things happen here in the United States. And that's good to see. It's good to see people finally getting a political awareness. And I think the internet has a lot to do with that. And I think the internet has a lot to do with helping alternative information and bringing that information into mainstream, which has hopefully benefited you quite a bit on this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, John Kerry has certainly been beating the drums. He wants a blitz. Hey, listen to this one on John Kerry, seeing we brought him up. So why isn't that opening? All right, here we go.
It is directly related to our credibility and whether countries still believe the United States when it says something.
And this one says, reveal the blitz.
Reveal the blitz.
So there's John Kerry.
Clear as day.
Yeah, clear as day. And he's banging the drums of war. So, Obama's doing the opposite. So anyway, so there you go.
Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize winning Obama, I'm sure he doesn't necessarily, while he did carry on the war effort from Bush, it seems like he's not interested in starting another one, and I think that's probably a really good thing, in my opinion.
Oh, I think so too. I'm not laying any rubbish on Obama. I'm just saying this is where his mindset's at. I've always of the opinion America should stay out of international affairs, but then I'm an Aussie citizen, so what do I know? You know.
Well, that's the same opinion that the founding fathers had. They said stay out of foreign affairs because you'll get entangled into something that you'll be unable to get out of. And I'm not a huge fan of Obama or any politician. The last president that I really had any respect for was probably in the 1800s. And anybody that's worked towards doing any effective change has been, you know, summarily bumped off along the line. And so I can see where they would be under pressure to kind of try and toe the line. But hopefully he'll be able to stand up a little bit and will be able to stand up a little bit and back off all of this violence and death.
That will be nice. Yes, indeed.
David, can you tell us a little bit about your radio show? How we can listen to it, and if there's archives or anything like that we can keep up with some of this information?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, yeah, it's actually Truth Frequency Radio. It's on every Sunday. If you go to davidoates.com, that's my own that's my radio show website. That's with an E-S, David Oates, O-A-T-E-S.com. And all the archives are there. Just click on the radio shows, and all the archives of my weekly show are there. And actually, all the archives of every show I've done for the last 15 years are there. There's hundreds of shows on davidoates.com. So you can scroll all the way back to even my very first appearances on Coast to Coast AM back in the 1990s. They're all on there too. And for those who don't know, I'm going back on Coast to Coast AM this week on Thursday night. So you can tune in and listen. It's going to be a very simple show. I won't be playing in reverse as I've played here. We'll just be doing some really nice, basic, straightforward, simple examples to reintroduce reverse speech to the American public. So I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was actually where I first became aware of you, probably in the late 90s at some point, was on Coast to Coast. And it got me started on the path. And, of course, I've had it in the back of my mind and moved on and got involved in work and other things that like people will do. And it occurred to me probably several years after that I hadn't heard from you anymore. And I thought that was a little bit odd because – like I said, I'm really thinking that this is a technology that could help move, you know, our humanity forward. And then recently, just very recently, I spoke with a friend of mine, and she explained that there was some problems that came about through some of your reversals. And I'm curious if you could comment on that situation.
Oh, would that get myself into trouble?
Well, if you're going to get in trouble, don't worry about it. I was just curious about it.
No, well, basically, I came up with some information that I think some people were very pleased about, and I had a bit of a fallout with Art Bell on Coast to Coast, and as a result of that, I wasn't asked back on Coast to Coast, but now I am. So there we go. So, here I'll play reverse. This is on remote viewer Ed Dames, who I did reversals on.
Let me tell you what SciTech stands by. There is in the Cydonia region, there is one specific feature that we have remote viewed time and time again. We were so astounded by it. And again, don't forget that these are very interesting to us.
And he says, received the big fund making it up.
Received the big fund making it up.
Received the big fund making it up.
And again.
Received the big fund making it up.
So that sort of puts Ed Dames in a bit of a bad light, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of exposes some of the things that specifically on Lunatic Outpost that we're worried about, the people getting compromised by money, and it also kind of exposes how the system behind the scenes work and how sometimes the conspiracy can also be the conspiracy theorists can also be corrupted by the conspiracy, which is sad. But we've got people like you and technology like this to be able to expose that stuff for ourselves.
Yep, and I'm going to continue doing that. And I've got more and more people around me now who are going to do more and more reversals. And you're going to see a resurgence of reverse speech over the next few years. So just sit back and watch it happen. I've been preparing and planning for it for years. So, yes, I went home to Australia in 99, and I pretty much disappeared from the international scene, although I had some local Australia media, and I did classes in Australia. And it's only in the last 3 or 4 years that I've wanted to get back in the international scene again. And so I've been getting ready for it slowly but surely, you know, and I think we'll give reverse speech another crack. I think the world's a little bit more ready for it now than what it was back in the 1990s. So we'll see. We'll see.
I definitely agree. I think that alternative media has also gotten, with the help of internet, we've gotten a better foothold in society and been able to dispel a lot of the myths and a lot of the rhetoric that's been put out on us and kind of make us look like tinfoil, you know, wackos, when in fact most of the stuff that we're talking about it's come to light that it's really, we may be fringe, but we're fringe news reporters, and this is the news that the mainstream media isn't interested in reporting, because unfortunately they've been co-opted by corporations, and that's the society's becoming more aware of that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, look, the internet media is really important. I mean, you know, mainstream society is so regimented and rigid as to what you're allowed to see and cannot see, and the most of the great look, let's face it, many great discoveries all happen in the fringe first, you know, before they filter out to mainstream. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That reminds me of things like the flat Earth theory being debunked and the Earth spinning around the sun spinning around the Earth. Those people were certainly the conspiracy theorists, lunatics of their time, and now it's meted out. It's in the history books, and I think that with the greater access to information that we have now, and people are doing a lot better at parsing this information and figuring out how to tell if somebody's, you know, they can do research. This person is owned by this corporation, and the recent research that they did, I think it was the Federal Institute of Technology did a study and found that out of the 46,000 or something corporations that are in the world, that it boils down to like 1,300 that are controlled by board members that are kind of webbed into these different corporations. And when you go a level deeper into the rabbit hole, that there's actually 100 and some change corporations and board members that are influencing all this, these companies globally, worldwide. And when we have, you know, honest, good sources of information like that are available, then that helps dispel the rumors and the propaganda that we're just fringe, you know, lunatics, and that we should be ignored. So yeah, it seems, and I'm really happy to see that you're back on the scene, and that this is getting. I'm really happy to see you back on Coast to Coast. I think that's going to be pretty epic. What day is that? That's going to be. What day is that going to be on?
That's on Thursday, September the 5th. I'm on the first 2 hours from 10 to 12. So yeah, no, that's great. I'm really excited about going back on, and I've got nothing but gratitude for George Newry for extending me the invitation. That's very nice of him. So Reverse Speech gets its second coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm going to check here in a second and see if we have any questions from the listening audience, from chat or from threads. Yep. I'm curious, do you have any good meaty stuff that you can play for us? You know, some of the stuff that is clear and obvious, and be it you know, gossipy or political or whatever, it would be great to hear.
Oh, something that's clear and obvious. Let's play a clear and obvious reversal first. Here's Angelina Jolie.
I grew up kind of very very aware of my own emotions.
Listen carefully. Tell me what she's saying backwards.
I am very aware.
I am very aware.
I think she's very aware.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's clear and obvious. Was that clear and obvious enough for you?
Absolutely.
All right. Here we have another clear obvious reversal. This is Biden praising American troops.
You're the most capable warriors in the history of the world. There has never, 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 never been a fighting force as capable as you are.
Okay, see how obvious this one is.
You're chicken.
Did he call them chickens? He did not say you're
exactly
chicken.
That's exactly what he called them. He called them chickens. That's what we call an incongruent reversal. Okay? So, I've got so many that are clear and obvious.
I was probably taking a trip back to some of your older ones when you first got started, and I'm glad you clarified and said that you've got a much stronger filter on what you're looking at now. I've seen some others from some other people, and they kind of are using metaphors and things like that.
Yeah.
But everything you've played today has just, I mean, it sounds like they're talking forward using regular language and regular concepts.
Well, this is what I say to the skeptics. You know, we're not trying to make gibberish, trying really hard to fit something in there. I mean, these are really clear, obvious phrases. You know, it's not rocket science, this stuff, you know. I mean, like, look, here's another one. Here's a woman talking about her love life. Listen to this one.
Good on ya.
Just the weird part, you know, which I just kept to myself, is that I'm noticing
I get this, like, when I met Michael, I was immediately attracted to him, and I wanted him, and I still want him, not as strongly, and I won't go there.
And here's what she says backwards.
I want him in.
I want him in. I want him in.
I mean, you know what?
She wants a man.
Yeah, she absolutely does. Yeah, absolutely does. So, and I got dozens and dozens of these, you know, and... Some of them I play without prompting. Some of them I prompt on. You know, I get criticized for prompting. But look, people put subtitles on TV if someone's speaking with a thick accent, and no one says, "Oh, he's obviously not speaking English because they had to put a subtitle on there." You know, and I get that criticism for prompting. But some reversals are hard to hear unless you've got an ear for it, you know. And in the short time I'm on the radio, I don't really have time to totally train people up on how to hear the reversals. So on some of the more harder ones, I do a little bit of prompting. So anyway.
I'm curious. It's very interesting. Of course, most of us are familiar with the political and the celebrity stuff. And I'm interested in seeing the ways that it can be utilized in psychiatry and psychology and stuff. This is all kind of based off of the Jungian method of the subconscious and kind of an extension of that. And it seems like you could probably, you know, record yourself talking to someone and play that information back. And, you know, nobody knows their own voice, you know, better than themselves. And I think that would be a very valuable tool. Do you do this is something that you use in your work as you're a counselor?
Oh yeah. I have a very busy practice. I'm a hypnotherapist. But I use reverse speech in my practice, and I do all my work over the phone. All of my clients are in America and England. I have no local Australian clients at all. So basically, what I do is you'll call me up, and I'll tape you for 30 minutes. And the reversals will give me a very detailed look into your unconscious, and I'll be able to see fairly clearly what's going on, if you've got money problems, what's causing that, you know. Oftentimes it goes back to childhood, and the reversals will tell me. And the use of reverse speech in psychotherapy is just so exciting. It's as significant to understanding the human mind as the discovery of the X-ray was to understanding the human body, because reverse speech allows us to look into the unconscious patterns. And yes, it is very Jungian. Jung was really into his metaphors, and reverse speech, when it's talking about psychological issues, is very metaphoric and archetypal in nature. The unconscious thinks in pictures or metaphor, and these metaphors describe various factors or functions of the unconscious. And so what I'm looking for is I'm looking for the metaphoric map. Now, let's supposing you came to me with a motivation issue, you know, and I might find a reversal that says I have a sick wolf. Now, wolf in reverse speech is our drive, our motivation. My approach to, okay, if you've got a metaphor or a picture in the unconscious that says I have a sick wolf, then if we change that metaphor, can we also change the behavior? And so what I do is I then take my clients down. I hate to use the word hypnosis, but that's what it is. It's a hypnotic trance. Different type of trance. You're fully awake, talking to me as we do it, and I will have you see a wolf who is sick. And then we'll fix the wolf up, depending on other reversals. We may have to take the wolf hunting, you know, or take him to a river and wash him. I'm not too sure. Depending on what the reversals will tell me what to do. And then as I take my clients through this pictorial journey in the unconscious and we change their metaphors, we're also changing their behavior and their outlook and their outcomes. And so I believe the discovery of reverse speech in itself is amazing, but it's the other things that it's led me to discover that are even more amazing: how the unconscious works, how human behavior is really formed in the unconscious, and how can we change that human behavior. And they're the issues that I work on in my practice, which is really exciting stuff.
That's got to be that's definitely 180 degrees from what we're used to in the States of I don't feel good. Here, take these drugs. Not these drugs over here that have been used for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, because those are bad for you. But take these drugs over here that somebody pays me to prescribe, or maybe not, but these that are associated with, you know, in a gigantic corporation. And unfortunately, you know, that's kind of the culture in America. If I don't feel good, give me something to change that. And it seems like any real shot at psychology has been completely drummed out of our society. And they, of course, have the propaganda for that it's not really a real science, that if you want science, that then you'll take this drug because we have scientists working on this in a lab and we know this will fix you. And unfortunately, they don't know it will fix you.
No.
They don't know exactly what it might do, because it's only been on the market for a year or two. And I'll tell you one of the specific examples of this that just makes me completely crazy. Of course, the use of Adderall and things like that. We saw the it hit the market in the early 90s, and they said, well, this will fix your child. He'll have great test scores, and don't you worry about it. He'll be listening to you. And they're children. I mean, you know, what are you going to do with a child that doesn't want to pay attention to something that you want them to pay attention to? Do you give them this hardcore amphetamine and then which basically just makes them scared, and they'll do whatever you want them to do at that point? And what we really have seen come out of all of this, we haven't seen any more Einsteins or Teslas or any great geniuses come out of this wonderful drug. What we've seen is an enormous spike in methamphetamine abuse right about the time that this thing hit the market. So it's really it's not got a great track record at all. And it's unfortunate, because wow, this is something else that they can bank off of. And it's really sad. I would love to see something more natural, and of course something that helps everyone understand their mind and how it works. Do you have some of these other metaphoric? See, the metaphoric ones were the ones that kind of threw me, because they seemed very open to interpretation. But I imagine deal with this after a while, you begin to become familiar with what the metaphors stand for. Do you have some of those examples?
Yeah, sure. Exactly right. And, well, look, when I first started doing reverse speech, I had no idea what these metaphors meant. They were very much of a mystery to me. But I've been able to, over the years, seeing them in the same context over and over again, get to some meaning. Okay, let's play a simple one. So this is on me, actually, talking to a client who's recovering from a nervous breakdown.
You strike me as a very enthusiastic guy. I mean, certainly the time we've been together, and you've got all full of ideas. Is this just a latest idea? Is it just all froth and babble, or do you really want to get out? And do you really
And this one says, "See the wolf fallen in the lake."
See the wolf fallen in the lake.
See the wolf fallen in the lake.
And again.
See the wolf falling in the lake.
Absolutely. I'm sure you would agree. All right, so wolf is our motivation. I know that, because I've seen it under that context time. And I've got a metaphor dictionary. You've got about 1,000 references in the dictionary, and I'm constantly updating it and upgrading it, refining definitions. I will agree that, yeah, metaphors are open to interpretation, and when I'm explaining them to my clients, I'm always open to their input as well, you know, because it's their metaphor. They may have more insight into what it means. But for the most part, I'm fairly confident. And a lake in reverse speech is come from the water group. It's emotion. So when the versal says, "See the wolf fall in the lake," this man is drowning in a sea of emotion. Okay, so which is logical, because he was a salesman. He's just had a nervous breakdown, so his wolf has fallen in the lake. And my approach to fixing that will be to put him under hypnotic trance, see a wolf in the lake, and pull the wolf out. And as I change that image, we're also changing behavior. I know it sounds simple, but it really is as simple as that. And go to my website, folks. Look at some of the testimonials on the website. Some of the successes I've had. The video testimonials are quite impressive. You have to download it. It'll take about 15 minutes to download it all, but certainly well worth it. Let's look at Let me see, what else can I... Let's play... this is a metaphor that I've actually been following myself in the last two or three years. This is from a discussion we had recently about how to get reverse speech known.
Where it'll be good, I feel, is that if I can get a handle on what metaphors people may be running, we can sort of have a look at what sort of people we're looking for to come into reverse speech. Because right now, an overactive goddess obviously isn't as bad as a rabid wolf or a rustling.
And this one says, ships serve you when you make this wharf.
Ships serve you when you make this wharf.
Ships serve you when you make this wharf. Ships serve you when you make this wharf.
Okay, so that comes from, sometimes we are referred to as ships in reverse speech. You know, we are the ships sailing the oceans of life. And so what this reverse is basically saying is when you make the structure, the people will come, or build it and they will come. So that's what I've been doing the last two or three years, building a nice structure for them to come. So
that's interesting. I find it, of course, we're referred to as vessels in the early Renaissance, the maritime and everything like that. They began to refer to humans as vessels in the sea of life and things like that. So you're finding that across different people that there are, because the wolf thing just blew my mind, because I heard it in both references. You're finding that these are different metaphoric references in different people, and they're not in contact with each other, almost like there is some kind of another reference to a collective unconscious where this information is staged.
Absolutely. It's all in the collective unconscious. I teach that in my classes. And for those who aren't familiar with the concept of a collective unconscious, it was first postulated by Carl Jung. And he claimed that at the base level of consciousness, there is this storehouse of all knowledge. And we are all connected individually through this common collective unconscious. And yes, and this is where the metaphors are residing, in the unconscious. And they are I believe they are universal in their meaning. They mean the same thing from person to person. Now, just because I don't have the meaning refined totally yet for one reversal doesn't negate the fact that it's a universal, and you're using it, and your next door neighbor's using it, and the person across the street's using it, because we are all connected to this one overall collective unconscious, and at the deepest levels of reverse speech, that's what reverse speech is tapping into. So reverse speech is coming on many different levels. On one level, it's conscious. If we're lying falls, we get the truth back. We started the show by playing a few of those. Then at the deeper level, it's coming down into the subconscious. It'll give reasons for physical disease. It'll give instructions for help. And at the deepest levels of all, it's coming from the collective unconscious. And that's where you get these metaphors. So, let's play you a complicated metaphor. This is on the Martin Luther King.
I want to say tonight that I, too, am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960 when students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream, and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
So there we go. That's Martin Luther King. Okay, complicated metaphor. This takes a little bit more than a cursory knowledge to interpret. It says, we're told this garden must see more Armageddon. So here we go. Hear that one there?
I do. Yeah, that's
so basically
clear.
What he's clear as day. Yeah. So basically, what he's saying is he's comparing America to the garden, and more Armageddon. We're going to see more strife. There's going to be more racial turmoil before we reach that place where we can say we're in the garden. Okay,
yeah.
So,
we've got a comment from a listener that these are archetypal images, and when the images are woven together, that's where we get our myths from, and that's probably where a lot of the myth information came from is dwelling in the back of our subconscious.
Oh yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Yep. definitely so. Yep. We learn through mythology. The unconscious thinks through myth. We tell our children stories, you know. Some of the great spiritual teachers teach in parables because that's how the deep unconscious processes its information, is through metaphor and parables and stories, you know. I say a picture's worth a thousand words. It's true. It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, pretty powerful stuff. All right. Do you want to hear some more metaphors?
I absolutely do. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I've got hundreds of them. All right. Here's one here. This is a lady who's commenting on this is a question after one of my lectures, and I just made a statement that reverse speech can tap into that divine energy inside of us. So this is her comment.
I feel it's all very possible. And yeah. I think one of the things talking when you're talking about Christ helping people, he also said that we all have the capability of doing
great, the things and these will ye also do.
And this one says, we cast Satan out of heaven. So there we go. There's another metaphor. Of course, it goes back to the mythology of Satan. The brightest of all of God's angels, known as Lucifer, was cast out of heaven. Now, obviously, I think that's a metaphor or a mythological story, and it exists in the unconscious as a myth. And we cast Satan out of heaven, heaven being the deepest part of the mind. Satan is a metaphor for anger, frustration, spiritual loneliness and longing. And if we cast Satan out of heaven or get rid of that anger, that doubt, that frustration from the deepest part of the mind, then we can really tap into the great power inside of us.
Yeah, actually, Satan, it's the definition if from the research I've done that the literal definition of Satan is the adversary. So if you talk about removing the adversary, of course, that's going to make someone feel more harmonious and in tune with themselves. Do you find that people are using specific mythology or specific subject matter that they're familiar with? For instance, the last one was based in Christianity. Possibly someone that is a Muslim might use a Muslim translation or a historic if they're a historian.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Some metaphors are culturally based. I've got several clients who are Indian, and I'm finding metaphors on them like Shiva and Krishna. Okay, so they're so in Western culture you might find Jesus, whereas in Eastern culture you might find Shiva or Krishna. So yes, I am finding that. And let me see if I've got any of those ones here. You know what? I can't see any Shiva or Krishna metaphors. Sorry, I can't play you any of those. Yeah, I should keep some of those. I should put them aside.
We've got a question from the chat. If you've got just a second on this.
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned that you've got a growing list of these different memes and metaphors that you're compiling. I'm curious, is it publicly available or is this something that you work on based on your practice?
Oh, no, just go to my website, the Reverse Speech Metaphor Dictionary. You can get it from the product section of the website, along with all of my other books, too.
Okay, so that's the reversespeech.com, and then under products we can find the catalog.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep, and I always email the latest version, you know, update it, you know, like it's always open on my computer, you know, and I'm always updating it. So there we go. All right, look, talking about heaven, let's play. This is a really cool reversal that uses the metaphor heaven, and this is me on a radio show. So listen to the forwards first off.
Sometimes people ask me, does reverse speech endorse any particular religion? And the answer to that is, no, there are no deities or religions that reverse speech endorses or says this is right or this is wrong. It just talks about the soul and the endlessness of life. And that in itself is very powerful.
Indeed.
And this one says, it's the voice in heaven.
It's the voice in heaven.
Wonderful reversal.
Yeah, clear as a bell. Again, I could definitely make that out, and I could see how the metaphorical conclusion of that would be possibly making the transition, the connection between heaven and a subconscious or something like that. Is that kind of what – am I on the right path there?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely on the right path there. Yeah, heaven's a common metaphor. I interpret it as being in the deep unconscious. That's my interpretation of it. So, so reverse speech is a voice from the deep unconscious mind.
So. I'm curious. We have another question from chat real quick. Have you recorded some of the more popular channelers and reversed their speech and seen how this is almost like, you know, secondhand type of information from what they claim?
Yeah, no, I really haven't. I reversed one channeler many years ago. I can't think who the name of it was now. Some person up in Seattle. I can't think who it was now. And the reversals were disastrous. They were all negative. That was shocking. Satan and Nazi and
oh my,
yeah, they were disastrous. I haven't really done. And just because I got one bad one doesn't mean that there aren't good ones out there. So I really haven't done enough work to make any real definitive comments on that.
Absolutely, and I think it's interesting that the way this technology works that most like BS detectors. I think I've got a pretty decent one, but I really have to be right in front of the person and be able to parse their body language and different things like that for it to be effective. I think it's interesting that this can be done not only on live speech that you're recording, but this can also be used on archives into the past and get a look into like past presidents, past celebrities, take a look at motivations and things that they were thinking about at the time. I think that's great. It was also mentioned in another interview that I think is probably something that's interesting to bring up here and reiterate. This is not just an English phenomenon. You're also finding these reversals in different languages.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I can only speak for the authority with three languages, French, Spanish, and German. They're the three bilingual people I'm familiar with who I've put through training. They're finding reversals in their own language, of course. They're also finding the metaphors are the same, too, which I find very interesting.
Wow.
Yes, interesting. Adds more weight to the fact that we really are tapping into a common collective unconscious. If someone is bilingual, you'll get reversals in both languages. One reversal may be in English, the next one will be in French. I've even been told that sometimes the language will change halfway through a sentence. The first half will be in English and the second half will be in French. So that's quite amazing too. So
That's an insight into the thinking process, you know, maybe having to switch to another language to bring about a specific concept.
Yeah, I'd say so. So fascinating stuff. So and sometimes here we have Bin Laden speaking Arabic.
الإخوة الذين نحسبهم شهداء للأخ عبد العزيز المعتم الذي قتل في الرياض لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله والأخ مفيد.
But backwards he says, in English, I will buy you the palace of evil.
على ضي ضحلت في ذل. على ضي ضحلت في ذل. على ضي ضحلت في ذل.
Yeah, that's clear as day again, and that's obvious that since he's an English speaker and an Arabic speaker, that very revealing.
Yeah.
I'm curious, have you done any research on the way babies communicate? Because I remember a long time ago there was a story that made the rounds of there was a fire somewhere, and I'll probably mess most of the details up on this, but I could get the basic intent of it. There was a fire in a house, and the baby just was running gibberish forward, and then some reporter, or it may have even been you, if this was you, you'll have to correct me on this, they ran the baby's speech backwards, and it said fire, mommy's in a fire, or something like that. And
wow,
you can hear.
No, that wasn't me. No, that's not mine, but no, that's not one that I found. Oh, well, nice to know someone else is doing children's reversals. Yeah, children's reversals are great. The way I first came across it was, I wrote the theory of reverse speech in April 87. And then in July 87, I became the father of twin girls. And so I had a whole brand new research project on my hands.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Of course, they're getting old now. They're 26. They've got kids of their own now.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. 87, mate. So, the moment they came from hospital, I started taping them. And for the first 4 months of age, I found just gibberish forwards and gibberish backwards. And here we have the first example of an intelligent sound. So here's the forwards. And I run it backwards, and you hear the gibberish, and then she says, hello.
Oh,
you hear that there?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, I'll do it again. So there you go. That's a pretty cute one. And, I got lots of them.
It was interesting. As I used to spin records as a DJ, too, and there's a special phenomenon. When you've got two records that are, that you're playing, and when they finally hit exactly in sync, it's almost like a moment of clarity between the two, and your mind automatically can tell when the beats are completely in sync. And when I listened to that, the very first part sounded like high, like it was, maybe developing the shorter version of a greeting. But when it said hello, you could really tell. It was almost like it shone through. It was clearly communicating more so than the gibberish part at the beginning. Like that was actually an intended communication. Do you find that?
For sure. Yeah. Oh, communication is definite. Here, listen to this one. This is at 12 months of age. This is my daughter in a bathtub, and she's trying to pick up a cup, and she can't pick it up, and she reaches out to me for help. So here's the forwards. This one says, David, help me. Here we go. Hear that
wow,
one?
I did. She's just exactly said David. I mean, there's no mistaking that at all. We've got another question from the chat real quick. In your research, do you find specific metaphors for instance, from the politicians or maybe the power elite that we don't trust, that might be up to nefarious ends. Do you find that they have specific metaphors for what they're up to that might be just a little bit different than other people? Like, is there, an axe or a dragon or something that circulates in those specific circles?
Well, Nazi is a common metaphor in political circles. For example, I'll find Nazi quite a lot on American politicians, which is scary.
Yeah.
And here we have Obama talking about how he got Osama bin Laden. And as soon as I can see it, here it is. Okay, so here's the forwards.
Over the years, I've repeatedly made clear that we would take action within Pakistan if we knew where bin Laden was. That is what we've done. But it's important to note that our counterterrorism cooperation with Pakistan helped lead us to bin Laden and the compound where he was hiding. Indeed, bin Laden had declared war against Pakistan as well and ordered attacks against the Pakistani people.
And here he says, I was a Nazi cop.
I was a Nazi cop.
I was a Nazi cop. I was a Nazi cop.
So there you go. There's the word Nazi.
Yeah.
Aggressive action. Forced his way into Pakistan. Didn't get clearance from the Pakistani government. And went and stormed the place and shot the son of bin Laden. Sounds like Nazi-like action to me.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing to hear that. But I think it probably also says volumes about how he feels about that. I mean, assuming that he, detests Nazis, he might not have been happy with his own motivations in that move.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. So there. That answers that question. Let me play. I want to play a really good one on the kid. This is I'm going to be playing this one on Coast to Coast, so you get an advance warning. This is a great one. I love this example. This is a little slip of the tongue. And it's a young girl who's telling us about her schoolwork. And she's telling us all the subjects she's good at. And she's about to tell us a subject she's not good at, but she changes her mind and has a little slip of the tongue. Listen to this.
I'm quite a good girl, and I'm quite good at maths and English, but I'm not. I'm science.
Do you hear that? But I'm not.
Yeah. Maths and English, but I'm not.
Okay, and then she changes her mind. She's not going to tell us, okay?
I'm science, but.
And then in that little slip of the tongue, she says this backwards.
I'm not telling.
Clear as day.
Yeah, there's no denying that.
Yeah. And I've got so many examples of clear as day. You know, honestly, the skeptics should just come and spend a day at my house, you know, and go through my client files. My God. I mean, I average 20 tapes a week. Working with my clients, analyzing, which is a lot of work, believe me. And, you know, they're all on my computer, hundreds of thousands of reversals on my computer. And I've got so much, and most of them are as clear as the ones I've played on your show. I've got so much evidence to back this up. And the skeptics, they come out, you know, I love the skeptics. They come out and they spout all their arguments, and my question is, okay, and tell me, how many hours have you spent playing tapes backwards? And they, oh, none. How can you comment? How can you possibly make any intelligent comment if you haven't even studied the subject matter? You know, it's crazy stuff.
It is. It's sad, and it's more like they've their agenda becomes apparent that they've got something that they need to protect, and if they don't protect that correctly, and I'm sure it's coming at them from all sides at this point because of all of the different information that the public is able to get to and verify research for themselves through the internet, that it's not, you know, the big three TV stations that are putting out the candy laced stories that the media wants you to hear, that the corporations that own the media want you to hear them. They're basically turned into a public relations mouthpiece for the government and for corporations. Yeah. And they've got a lot invested in those systems, and they don't want to see it, what they would probably consider attacked, you know. And this is actually just information that we need to get out. And I imagine, as liars, as probably most of them are, this is probably some of the most threatening technology that's available.
I would agree.
I'm curious. I always have to bring this up. I'm a real fan of Tesla, and I don't know if he's got any recorded. Voice, but I would be very interested in hearing some of that information one of these days. I'll have to do some research on that myself and see how it comes out.
If you find some audio, send it to me. I'll do reversals on it. I'm sure there should be some audio of them around the place.
I would hope so, somewhere.
I would think so, yeah. We're good. You know, I try to do a lot of the public figures, as many of them as I can. There's probably close on 10,000 reversals on my website, actually probably even more than that, over the years. I mean, my website's been online since 96, so I just keep on constantly updating it all the time, you know.
The way to get to those samples, that's reversespeech.com, and is there a specific link that we can click on?
Yes, it says examples, reversespeech.com, and then just up on the top you'll see examples, and just click onto that, and there's all the various categories you can choose from. So.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
so,
do you have some more time for us, or would you?
You know what? I really got to get back to work. I got tapes I got to get done. Let's pull out a couple more reversals for you, okay? Here we have one on Joe Biden talking about a talented daughter that one of his friends has.
And I presumptuously counted myself among them, all of a sudden found out when they had a talented daughter who was a good athlete, how ferociously supportive they became.
And when he talks about the talented daughter, he says backwards, the lust that I handle.
The lust that I handle.
The last that I handle.
There you go. Oh, I guess he liked the talented daughter.
No, that's not good. That's not good.
No, that's not good at all. That's not good. Let me see. What else can I play you? Something to go out on. I'm just looking through. Oh, look, let's. Oh, look, here's a funny one. Here's an evangelist.
Great things for him, and I can do great things today. My friend, it just narrows itself down what he said to Simon Peter by the Sea of Galilee, lovest thou me?
And this one is, my advice is rancid.
My advice is rancid.
My advice is rancid.
There you go.
My advice is rancid.
Yeah, that's...
Not an advantage you need to go to for help.
Yeah, that's another one that doesn't take a lot of discernment to figure out that's right on top right there. Well, I'll tell you what, David, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and share your work with us. I'd like everyone that's interested in this information to take a trip over to David Oates, that's OATES.com, to look at some more of David's work. We've also got reversespeech.com, and you can check the link for that in the show thread. And if you're interested in the Australian version of that, it's reversespeech.com.au. And it sounds like we'll be able to keep an eye out for a reversespeech.co.uk. Also, we would like to mention, if you could tell us the address again to get on the mailing list for the app that you've got coming out, that would be great.
Yeah, ireversespeech.com. ireversespeech.com. So just go to that site and put your name on the mailing list, and as soon as it's out, we'll let you know.
All right, and we can also hear you Thursday night on Coast to Coast, and I'm really excited to hear that interview too, and glad that you got back on there to get your message out, because I think it's a really important message, and I think it's definitely one whose time has come. I think American society, as well as the world, is ready for an epiphany like this, a technology that you can really decide what somebody's up to rather than having to, take them at their word. David, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope that you'll join us again.
No worries. We'll speak to you soon. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.